good bowling, and card playing. Once upon a time, there was an old king with the most beautiful daughter in the world. One day he announced,
"Whoever can keep watch in my old castle for 3 nights can have the princess for his bride."
What a terrible... Father, this is not a Scooby-Doo mystery. Stop giving away your children like that. Now, there was a young man from a poor family who thought to himself, "Why not risk my life? I've got nothing to lose and a lot to win. What's there to think about?" So he appeared before the king and offered to keep watch in the castle for 3 nights.
"You may request 3 things to take with you into the castle, but they have to be lifeless objects," the king said.
"Well, I'd like to take a carpenter's bench with a knife, a lathe, and fire." All of these things were carried into the castle for him. When it turned dark, he himself went inside. At first, everything was quiet. He built a fire, placed the carpenter's bench with the knife next to it, and sat down at the lathe. Toward midnight, however, a rumbling could be heard, first softly and then more loudly. Biff, baff, he-he, hello. It became more dreadful, and then it was somewhat quiet. Finally, a leg came down from the chimney and stood right before him. "Hey there," the young man cried out. "How about some more? One is too little." The noise began once again. Another leg fell down the chimney, and then another and another, until there were 9. "That's enough now. I've got enough for bowling, but there are no balls. Out with them." Then there was a tremendous uproar, and 2 skulls fell down the chimney. He put them in the lathe and turned them until they were smooth. "Now they'll roll much better." Then he did the same with the legs and set them up like bowling pins. I feel like that wouldn't work with human legs. Forgive me if I'm wrong. I got all distracted. "Hey, now I can have some fun." Suddenly, 2 large black cats appeared and strode around the fire. "Meow, meow," they screeched. "We're freezing, we're freezing." "You fools, what are you screaming about? Sit down by the fire and warm yourselves." After the cats had warmed themselves, they said, "Good fellow, we want to play a round of cards." "All right," he replied, "but show me your paws. You've got such long claws that I've got to give them a good clipping before we begin." Upon saying this, he grabbed them by the scruffs of their necks and lifted them into the carpenter's bench. Then he fastened them to the vise and beat them to death. God damn! Afterward, he carried them outside and threw them into a pond that lay across the castle. I don't know if I want somebody this violent to marry my kid, man. I don't know. Just as he returned to the castle and wanted to settle down and warm himself by the fire, many black cats and dogs came out of every nook and cranny. More and more, so that he couldn't hide himself, they screamed, stamped on the fire, and kicked it about so the fire went out. So he grabbed his carving knife and yelled, "Get out of here, you riffraff!" Then he began swinging the knife. Most of the cats and dogs ran away, the others were killed, and he carried them out and threw them into the pond. Then he went back inside to the fire and blew the sparks so the fire began again and he could warm himself. After he had warmed himself, he was tired and lay down on the large bed that stood in the corner. Just as he wanted to fall asleep, the bed began to stir and raced around the entire castle. "That's fine with me, just keep it up." So the bed drove around as though 6 horses were pulling it over stairs and landings. Bing, bing. It turned upside down from top to bottom, and he was beneath it. So he flung the blankets and pillows into the air and jumped off. "Anyone who wants a ride can have one." That's what she said. Then he lay down next to the fire until dawn. In the morning, the king arrived, and when he saw the young man lying asleep, he thought he was dead and said,
"What a shame."
But when the young man heard these words, he awoke, and as soon as he saw the king, he stood up. Then the king asked him how things had gone during the night. "Quite well. One night's gone by smoothly. The other 2 will go by well." Indeed, the other nights were just like the first, but he already knew what to do, and on the 4th day, he was rewarded with the king's beautiful daughter. Here's the question I have. Among the fact that he, like, knew to prepare for bowling with legs and skulls, I mean, based on what he brought, it's like he knew what was going to happen, right? Beating those cats to death, it's kind of fucked up. They didn't really seem like they were much of a threat. Maybe the other cats and dogs came to be like, "Hey, you asshole, you killed those 2 cats. You beat them to death for no reason," which is kind of fucked up. But also, is this like how the king lives all the time? Because, like, he must deal with this all the fucking time. Like, this is his kingdom. This is his castle. This is where he lives, apparently. If you're the king, why not just build another castle without the bunch of cats and dogs and the legs and the skulls coming out of your fireplace? Like, does this just his, like, daily routine? I don't even know. I'm so confused by this story. The guy's, like, super violent. Anyway, that was really interesting. There's no way the second one can beat the first one, because, I mean, that was pretty epic, you guys. I don't know. Okay, so this one's the wolf and the seven kids. That sounds, I hope someone dies, because the last one was so violent. I've got, like, a real bloodlust going now, so. The wolf and the seven kids. A goat had seven young kids, whom she loved very much and carefully protected from the wolf. One day, when she had to go and fetch some food, she called them all together and said, "Dear children, I must go out and find some food. So be on your guard against the wolf and don't let him inside. Pay close attention, because he often disguises himself, but you can recognize him right away by his gruff voice and black paws. Protect yourselves. If he gets into the house, he'll eat you all up. Please don't leave them. That's a terrible thing. Take them with you." Upon saying this, the goat went on her way, but it was not long before the wolf arrived at the door and called out, "Open up, dear children. I'm your mother and have brought you some beautiful things." But the seven kids said, "You're not our mother. She has a lovely soft voice and yours is gruff. You're the wolf and we're not going to open the door." The wolf went away to the shopkeeper and bought a big piece of chalk, which he ate, and it made his voice soft. That is not how that works. Do not eat chalk. Then he returned to the house door of the seven kids and called out with a soft voice, "Dear children, let me in. I'm your mother, and I've brought something for each of you." But the wolf had put his paw on the windowsill, and when the children saw it, they said, "You're not our mother. She doesn't have a black paw like yours. You're the wolf. We're not going to open the door for you." So the wolf ran to a baker and said, "Baker, put some dough on my paws for me." And after that was done, the wolf went to a miller and said, "Sprinkle some white flour on my paws." The miller said, "No. If you don't do it, I'll eat you up." So the miller had to do it. Now the wolf went once again to the house door of the seven kids and said, "Dear children, let me in. I'm your mother and I've brought something for each of you." The seven children wanted to see the paws first, and when they saw that they were snow white and heard the wolf speak so softly, they thought that he was their mother and opened the door. Once the wolf entered, however, they recognized him and quickly hid themselves as best they could. The first kid slid under the table, the second hid in the bed, the third in the oven, the fourth in the kitchen, the fifth in the cupboard, the sixth under the large wash basin, and the seventh in a clock case. However, the wolf found them all and swallowed them, except for the youngest in the clock case, who remained alive. When the wolf had satisfied his craving, he went off. Shortly thereafter, the mother goat came home, and oh, what a terrible sight! The wolf had been there and had devoured her dear children. She thought they were all dead, but then the youngest jumped out of the clock case and told her that now he had PTSD, and that she was a terrible, irresponsible mother for leaving her stupid children alone to deal with the wolf. In the meantime, the wolf, who was stuffed, had gone to a green meadow where he'd lain himself down in the sun and fallen into a deep sleep. The old goat thought she still might be able to save her children. Therefore she said to her youngest kid, "Take the scissors, needle, and thread, and follow me. We're gonna kill a motherfucker." After she left the house, she found the wolf lying on the ground in the meadow and snoring. "There's that nasty asshole," she said, and inspected him from all sides. "There he is after eating my six children for supper. Give me the scissors. Oh, if only they're still alive inside of him." Then she cut his belly open, and the six kids that had been swallowed whole by the gluttonous wolf jumped out and were unscathed. Immediately, she ordered them to gather large and heavy stones and to bring them to her. Yes, we are going to fucking kill somebody. Then she filled his stomach with them, and the kids sewed him up again and hid behind a hedge. He is the deepest sleeper in the history of mankind. I would not sleep through somebody cutting my stomach open, removing its contents and filling it with stones, then sewing it back up. I'm thinking this wolf is a drug addict. He was clearly about to overdose on something, because Jesus Christ. When the wolf had finished sleeping, the sleep of the dead, he felt that his stomach was very heavy and said, "It's rumbling and tumbling in my belly. It's rumbling and tumbling in my belly. And I've only eaten 6 kids." Only. He thought he had better have a drink of fresh water to help himself, and he looked for a well, but when he leaned over, he couldn't stand straight because of the stones and fell into the water. When the 7 kids saw this, they came running and danced joyfully around the well. That's right. Dance on the grave of the asshole who ate you. Nice stories for children. I'm going to read the last one, which is pretty short. It's called The Nightingale and the Blind Worm. Oh, what a beautiful title. Once upon a time, there lived a nightingale and a blind worm, each with one eye. For a long time, they lived together peacefully and harmoniously in a house. However, one day the nightingale was invited to a wedding, and she said to the blind worm, "I've been invited to a wedding, and don't particularly want to go with one eye. Would you be so kind as to lend me yours? I'll bring it back to you tomorrow." I feel like I know where this is going to go, since his name is Blind Worm. The blind worm gave her the eye out of kindness of her heart. But when the nightingale came home the following day, she liked having two eyes in her head and being able to see on both sides. So that fucking bitch refused to return the borrowed eye to the blind worm. That's me and everything I've ever loaned to anybody. Then the blind worm swore that she would avenge herself on the nightingale's children and the children of her children.
"Well," replied the nightingale, "see if you can find me. I'll build my nest in the linden so high, so high, so high, you'll never be able to find it, no matter how hard you try."
Ever since that time, all the nightingales have had two eyes and all the blind worms none. But wherever the nightingale builds her nest, a blind worm lives beneath it in the bushes and constantly tries to crawl up the tree, pierce the eggs of her enemy, and drink them up. I mean, it kind of feels unnecessarily petty and vindictive. Like, it sounds like something God would do. No offense to God, but, like, what did her children's children's children ever do to you, man? Just let it go, all right? I don't know. All right, one more, since that was really short. The Stolen Pennies. One day, wait, it was probably a nightingale, right? I hear those assholes steal everything. One day, a father was sitting at the table with his wife and children and a good friend who was visiting him, and they were having their noonday meal. As they were sitting there, the clock struck 12, and the visitor saw the door open, and a pale child, that was me, dressed in snow-white clothes, entered. He didn't look around or say anything, but went silently into the next room. Shortly thereafter, he returned and went away just as quietly as he had entered. On the second and third day, the child came again. Finally, the visitor fucking learned to lock... Whatever. This asshole needs to lock his door, right? This guy keeps coming in. Finally, the visitor asked the father who the beautiful child was that entered the room every day at noon. The father answered that he knew nothing about him. He hadn't seen anything. The next day, as the clock struck noon, the child entered again, and the visitor pointed the child out to the father, but he didn't see the boy. See your psychiatrist. Neither did the mother nor the children. The visitor stood up, went to the door, opened it a little, and looked inside. Then he saw the pale child sitting on the floor, digging and rummaging in the cracks of the boards. However, as soon as the child noticed the visitor, he disappeared. I see dead people. Now the visitor told the family what he had seen and gave an exact description of the boy. The mother was unable to recognize the child and said, "Alas, it's my own dear child who died 4 weeks ago." And they ripped up the boards of the floor and found 2 pennies that the boy had received from his mother at one time to give to a poor man, but the child had thought, "You can buy yourself a biscuit for that." Therefore, he had kept the pennies and had hidden them in the cracks of the floor. This is why he hadn't been able to rest in his grave and had come back every day at noon to look for the pennies. So the parents gave the money to the poor man, and after that, the little child was never seen again. You know, that seems like a really sad thing to have to basically be tormented forever after death as a child because you didn't give pennies to a poor man. It's kind of fucked up. He's a kid. He died when he was a kid. I feel like that's punishment enough. So the kid didn't give pennies to a poor man. He's a child. His brain isn't finished developing. And we all know kids are selfish little fucks. I was, you were, I probably still am. that's just human nature. Come on, like, just let it go. All right, so I'm going to end it here. The next one is called The Hand with a Knife, but I can save that for whenever I read fairy tales next. I really enjoy being a sarcastic a-hole when I read these stories, so if you don't mind, I would like to continue doing that when I read these. Because, yeah, it's just, my commentary. And I hope you like it. Okay, I will talk to you guys later. Your next upload is going to be tomorrow. So erotic would have been yesterday, and your next upload is Thursday, and then Sunday. How am I not sure of this upload schedule that I've had for so long? Okay, anyway, I will see you guys in my less scripted form next week. Maybe. Oh, I'll probably be doing a parody next week because Ike Moore sent me another one and I really like his parodies. So, all right, I will talk to you guys later then. Bye.